If you ask me a question, do you think we believe God's word? What would most of you in this room say? Yes. I mean, I would hope you would say yes. But in our heart, really, we don't, do we?
No.
I mean, we really don't. If we are suffering anything and the word of God made the statement, and I mean, I think how many years I was sick and afflicted. I think how many times I lay on a bed going to church every Sunday. I mean, a deacon in the church and everything else, and a Sunday school teacher and everything else. And when I would be at work, I'd be doing something, and I can remember making statements like this. I'm lifting some paneling out of a truck, twisting a little, and I said, you know, I got to be careful. I don't want to throw my back out. Is that the wrong confession, Dan? Absolutely. You know, it wasn't just a few minutes later, these little dinky sheets of 1/8-inch paneling didn't weigh nothing. Three or four of them was nothing for a big old strong boy like me. I reached down there and got one sheet and did this, and oh my goodness. Oh, I said, just what I thought. I thought I was going to do that. Do you hear any negative confession out of that?
Yes.
Do you hear a stupid Christian making the wrong confessions? And so I was out of commission for a week. I was in excruciating pain. But let me tell you what, I don't ever make those kind of confessions no more. I don't care what I'm doing. I mean, I can be like whenever Cheryl come out here that day when there was nothing but open sky here, and we got those big things that Eldon and I welded up all these big old trusses, and we got those things setting up on there. We're trying to weld these sea purlins across there, and Cheryl comes out here, and here I am 67 years old or 8, whatever it was, and I got one leg wrapped around one of those, and I'm hanging off with one leg down here, and I'm upside down underneath welded. She come out there and saw that. She said, what are you doing? I said, woman, go in the house. She like to jump out of herself. I said, I'm welding purlins on the roof. She said, you're going to fall. I said, no, I ain't going to fall. You see, you got to know who you are as a son of God, right? You got to be able to do everything in faith. And if the Lord told you and me clearly that if you have faith and doubt not, what can you do?
Anything.
That's what he said, Tom. Anything. If you have faith and doubt not. So you have to believe. You can't look at what the situation is. Like the day when I tore my leg all to pieces and it was black. I mean, it was swelled. And my son-in-law walked in and saw my leg. And he said, Thurman, you got blood poison in that leg. I got to take you to the hospital right now or you're going to lose that leg. Is that the right confession or the wrong confession?
Wrong.
For a Christian, it's wrong. But a few years before, I was right there with him. I mean, a few years before, instead of me standing on God's word to heal get my leg healed, when I tore it all to pieces, I would have been to the doctor within 30 minutes. I'd have been there. I'd had a skin graft. I mean, I got a 3-inch piece of skin, 1 inch wide, missing on my leg completely to the bone. And it's swelling. It's bleeding. You know, it's turning red. My toes are turning black within 3 days. When I looked at that, I thought, well, Lord, I sure am glad you're my healer. Praise God. Ain't no fear in my heart. I'm standing on his word. You say, well, how long did it take for him to heal you? 3 months. 3 months. You know, in fact, I guess it was the second Sunday when I went to church one day. I guess I kind of limped on it a little. One of the guys said, oh, something wrong with your leg? I said, well, yeah, I scratched it a little bit working this last week. He said, let me see it. I said, no. You don't need to see it. I didn't have a bandage on it that day. It was just open. You know, I said, you don't need to see it. He said, I want to see your leg. I said, okay, only on... If you'll promise, we'll go back over here and I'll let you see my leg, but I don't want you to tell nobody. Okay, I promise. We'll go over and I pulled my britches leg up like he looked at my boot and he said, my gosh. I said, that's exactly what I thought you were going to do. I said, no, I don't want to go there with you. I said, I want you to begin to praise God that my leg's healed because the word said he sent his word and healed me.
Amen.
So he said, but Thurman, we need to go to the doctor. I said, no, I've been to the best doctor in the world. It's Jesus. You see the unbelief we have? But yet, you could, I mean, as long as everybody's doing good, everything's going good, you know, he was a real faith man. You know, as long as there ain't nothing wrong. You know, I believe in faith. Faith works. Praise God. But then you let the trials and tests come and find out where you are. And it makes a difference in where you are, especially when you look at your body. Then you're looking, you're praying that prayer like they were a while ago. Oh, God, where are you? Do you not know what's going on here, Lord? Is that the way we are? Sure. Well, where is he? He's right here. He knows what he's doing. So you have no fear. It says, when the wicked die, their hopes are all perished. But he says in verse 8, God rescues the godly from danger, but he lets the wicked fall into trouble. Now, I don't want to be wicked before God, do you? Because that means when I start crying out and pleading with him until I get that sin repented of, he's going to just go ahead and let me fall right into trouble. I don't like it when he don't show up. Verse 9 and 10. Evil words destroy one's friends. Wise discernment rescues the godly. The whole city celebrates when the godly succeed. They shout for joy when the godless die. And I don't want to wish anything bad on anybody. I've been praying for a lot of people in Washington, but there's some of them up there I'd like to see fit that scripture. Y'all know where I'm coming from? We got a few of them up there that's godless. But the reason they're godless is because we ain't praying enough. We've got to make sure that we pray for our leaders like the Lord told us to do, verse 11 and 12. Upright citizens bless the city and make it prosper, but the talk of the wicked tear it apart. The wicked. I was watching BBC News while we were in Canada. I couldn't believe the chaos that's going on in so many cities in the world. I mean, it's not just in the United States. It's everywhere. I mean, Bangkok, Thailand, they're killing each other in the streets over there. You know, I think a few years ago when I was in the Vietnam War, I had the privilege to go to Bangkok. I made a tour downtown Bangkok one day. Of course, I walked in all them Buddhist temples with them gold things. I mean, I knew they didn't mean nothing. But I went in those places. I looked at those. I have since repented. Praise God. You know, Lord, I have nothing to do with those places. I would never go to another one of them Buddhist temples under no conditions. If I did, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be rebuking the devil. You know, I don't want nothing to do with those things. But it's amazing. The talk of the wicked tears everything apart. The last time we were invited to Canada, I mean, you know, here I'm the bold preacher, right? The girl says, what do you come to Canada for? I said, honey, I come to preach the word of God. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? She says, no. You see that red line? I said, she said, go down that to that office right there. I said, oh, okay. So I go down there and I hand the deal in. And the guy says, what do you come to Canada for? I said, I'm a preacher. I come to preach the word of God. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He said, no. And man, it wasn't but just when we finally got out of there, Cheryl said, next time we come up here, I'm going to do the talking. Well, when we went this time, I said, it says on there, what are you coming for? Business or pleasure? I told her, I said, check personal. She said, no, honey, it's business. I said, tell them personal, make it so much easier. Just tell them it's personal. It is personal to me. Preaching the word of God is personal. I ain't telling a lie. It's very personal. It's personal business. But anyway, she put business on there. So when we get up there, what's your business? I said, I'm a preacher. I mean, I can't tell a lie now. You know, I gotta say what I'm doing. And he said, well, I mean, first of all, the first girl, when she said again, when I said I'm a preacher, I didn't say anything else but that. I didn't ask her if she's a Christian or nothing. She just says, go down that red line to that office. Now, what was really bad, we were on descent coming in there, and I thought, well, I really kind of need to go to the bathroom, but, you know, I can wait, you know, 30, 40 minutes. That's not a problem. But then when we landed and we went through customs, we were in customs 40 minutes. The time we got through customs, I really needed to go to the bathroom. But, you know, so I will not make that mistake anymore. But whenever we went up there to this guy and he wanted to know what we were doing, I said, well, I come to preach the gospel. I'm a Bible teacher. He said, do you have an invitation to come to Canada? I said, probably not. She said, I think I do have it. She looked in her purse and she found the letter from the people. He looked at it and he said, okay. In other words, without that letter, you can't come in. So what am I going to do? Get back on an airplane and go back home? Hey, I'm telling you what. To preach the gospel, they ought to all be welcoming you in. Well, let me tell you, they're not. They don't want you up there. They don't want you. But the Lord said in these last days, this is what we're going to have to go through. They're going to persecute you and throw you, some of you, in jail. And some of you they're going to kill for my name's sake. Are you ready for that? I ain't ready for that, guys. I don't want to die. But if I have to die for Jesus, I'd rather die for him than anybody I know. Because he died for me. Didn't he die for you? Absolutely. It is foolish to belittle a neighbor. A person with good sense remains silent. Now, how difficult is that when somebody's reading you the Riot Act? We find out what you're made out of now. Somebody starts screaming in your face, you just say, I love you. Kind of tough, isn't it? It's so much easier to retaliate, isn't it? But that's not what God tells. He don't like it when you retaliate. He wants you to be loving and kind. 13 and 14. A gossip goes around revealing secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. There's some people in the world will tell you they will do something if you will do something. And then you do what they tell you or ask you or command you to do. And they lied. As soon as they see you do what they want you to do, then they turn around and spit right in your face and do what they said they wouldn't do. They're a liar. And God said, I hate it. A gossip goes around revealing secrets. That's why God told you to keep your mouth shut. Somebody does something, especially if somebody in a church, somebody does something, who knows why people do things? Do you know anybody in this room that's not a sinner? I'm going to be just like Jesus was. Lord, we caught this woman in adultery. The law says to stone her. What do you say? He said, I don't have a problem with the law. First man has no sin in his life. Throw the first rock. And I'm there and I'm thinking, I'm going to be the first one. And he says, and Thurman Scrivener is the biggest sinner of them all. In fact, second thought, I believe I'll lay my rocks down and I believe I'll go somewhere else. But you know, that could be your name next. You know it. Y'all know where I'm coming from?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Forgive and Be Forgiven, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.